here at a university broadcast studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour three of today's extravaganza. By the way, all you folks listening to us in Washington State, it is now illegal for you to walk outside without wearing a face mask. And according to the governor, Jay Inslee, anybody caught outside without a mask on will be charged with a misdemeanor. That's coming from Washington State. Meanwhile, a county in Oregon says everybody has to wear a face mask in public except for people of color. So all of you white people, you've got to wear a face mask. But minorities, people of color, you do not have to wear a face mask because of racial issues and circumstances. We have that story up at toddstarnes.com. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That is a toll-free number, border to border, coast to coast, 844-747-8868. Now, we cover a lot of stories on this program about religious liberty. And one of the reasons why is that I believe religious liberty is our bedrock foundational freedom, that we have all of our other freedoms because of freedom of religion. And unfortunately, over the past many years now, we have seen religious liberty come under attack primarily from secularists and atheists and the Democrats. And that is certainly the case in the city of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. We were among the very first to report about the attack on the local Knights of Columbus and the city of Rehoboth Beach. And there is now a religious liberty lawsuit underway citing religious discrimination because the city of Rehoboth Beach banned the Knights of Columbus nativity scene. They banned the baby Jesus, folks. I mean, come on. You can't be banning the baby Jesus. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program, Roger Byron, who is senior counsel for First Liberty Institute, and they are leading the charge here. Hey, Roger, great to have you back with us.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's dig into this here. So first of all, let's just do the backstory. The Knights of Columbus, they've been putting up the nativity scene for many, many years. Tell us what happened.
Well, a nativity has been a part of the community's holiday display for many years. And the traditional location for the display is in the area around the bandstand circle, down at the waterfront by the boardwalk at the end of Rehoboth Avenue. It's kind of the heart of the downtown area of this beach town. However, in 2018 and in 2019, when the Knights asked the city for permission to put the creche or the nativity up, they were told they couldn't do it. And in fact, in 2019, the city went so far as to say it is city policy that religious displays are not allowed on city property. In other words, the city said it is city policy that they have banned religious displays, private religious displays, from city property.
Roger, do we know who complained or who had a problem with this?
No, we don't. But what we do know are two things that are crystal clear in the law. One is that it is perfectly lawful to have a creche or a nativity scene on public property, certainly at Christmas time. It would be perfectly lawful if it was the city's own display, as long as there were, you know, other secular parts of the display in the area. And two, it is blatantly unlawful to ban religious displays from public property.
So one of the things I appreciate about you guys at First Liberty Institute, first of all, just consummate professionals, top lawyers in the nation, and you guys just don't take any case that comes along. You take the cases you know you can win that are important. And more importantly, you give the defendants the opportunity to do the right thing here. So it's not like you guys just go out there and just, you know, file a lawsuit. You wanted to give them the opportunity to do the right thing here.
Absolutely. I mean, back in this past Christmas, back in December, we sent the city a letter explaining how the law works, what the law is, how their policy and their behavior is unlawful and has violated the First Amendment. It had no effect. The city chose to continue with their policy.
So a lawsuit has been filed. What is the next step here?
Well, in a way, that's up to the city. It will depend on how they choose to respond to the lawsuit. They could, again, go back and look at the law and realize that they've acted unlawfully. They could do the right thing and lift the ban, allow the Knights the same opportunity. They allow at least one other private organization to have a private Christmas display in the area around the bandstand circle, and we can all go on our ways, knowing the First Amendment and the basic free speech and free exercise rights of the Knights of Columbus has been protected and upheld. Or they can dig in.
Roger Byron on the Newsmaker line from First Liberty Institute, representing the Knights of Columbus there in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm curious, Roger, what has been the reaction to all of this from local residents? Are they siding with city leaders? Or are they siding with the Knights of Columbus?
The media coverage from the last couple Christmas seasons indicated that most of the public, if not the vast majority of the public, were certainly siding with the Knights of Columbus, and more just with the Christmas tradition of having a nativity at Christmas time. That reportedly has been a part of the community tradition since the 1930s.
Unbelievable. So the 1930s, then all of a sudden, 2018 comes along and somebody's got a problem with it? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, the First Amendment, at a minimum, right? It protects people of faith and religious displays like this from being banned from public property. And it requires equal treatment for people of faith and these type of displays.
All right. Well, Roger, good work, and we appreciate you guys at First Liberty Institute fighting the good fight out there, and we're happy to get the word out.
Well, it sounds good, and you can learn more about this case and other cases we do on our website at firstliberty.org.
All right, Roger Byron, ladies and gentlemen, from First Liberty Institute, firstliberty.org. If you want to check out the lawsuit, also, drop them a few dollars. They do all of this. It's a nonprofit. They don't charge anything. They're just good salt-of-the-earth folks and some of the best lawyers in America, firstliberty.org. All right, we're going to take a break here, folks. Pay some bills, 844-747-8868. This is Open Lines segment, so if you want to weigh in on this lawsuit about the baby Jesus, if you want to weigh in on the mandatory mask laws that are going into effect, or the fact that President Trump is hauling out the National Guard to protect our monuments and statues, just give us a holler. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
If you guys have noticed this, but over the past decade, there really has been this effort to feminize men in America. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of men are, it's as if they've grown woman parts. I wrote about this, I think, in God Bless America. I had a great chapter on the feminization of men. And I believe if I can remember the chapter title. Wow. I think it was Why is Daddy Wearing Spanx? I believe that was the title of that particular chapter. But the reason I bring that up, I think it was last week, we were talking about Mike Gundy, the football coach, who made national headlines because a football player was very upset that he was wearing a T-shirt that promoted One America News, a conservative cable television network. And the player threatened basically to sit out, and he refused to play, boycott, I don't know, whatever. And so the coach ended up profusely apologizing. There had even been concerns that the coach might lose his job. This is the guy, Gundy's the guy with the mullet. And anyway, I asked at the time, could you imagine what would have happened if Bear Bryant, so, you know, let's just say a football player went up to Coach Bear Bryant, the legendary coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the always wore the houndstooth hat, and if a player come up and said, "Coach, that hat really it triggers me, Coach. I feel like I need to go to my safe space, Coach." I think the coach would have stuck the fedora where the sun don't shine. Don't you? But that was back in the day when men were men, not women. And no offense, ladies, but you know what I'm talking about, ladies. I mean, ladies, the ladies who listen to this radio program, you get it. You know what I'm talking about. All that to say, Washington Redskins defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio. Now, this is a man's man, and he doesn't give a flying flip what you think about his political beliefs. So somebody went after Coach Del Rio on Twitter, and they were very upset because Coach Del Rio is a supporter of President Trump. And so he put out a tweet. This is pretty nice. I can't exactly read the entire tweet, but you'll get a pretty good idea of what he said. Coach Del Rio, in response to the haters, said, "I'm 100% for America. If you're not, you can kiss my behind, my derriere, my backside, my hindquarters, my ASS." That's good for you, Coach Del Rio. Now, it does make you wonder how this is going to be received in the NFL, because I hate to say this, but the NFL is run by a bunch of women, and not females. I'm talking about men who think they are women. And it's not quite clear what the NFL is going to do here. But apparently some Black Lives Matter moron went after Coach Del Rio, and Coach put the Black Lives Matter person in their place. Good for you, Coach. Good for you. We need more people like that. I mean, do you remember that? Bill Main, you and I are of similar age.
Yes.
And there was a time when men were men and girls were girls.
And ne'er the twain shall meet.
Remember the All of the Family, Archie Bunker?
Archie.
What was the theme song? Talking about the good old days.
That's
when,
right. Mm-hmm.
Girls were girls and men were men.
And our old LaSalle ran great.
Remember,
LaSalle ran great.
Jeez.
Those were the days.
Having a hard time talking. I'm not sure what they put in the sweet tea today.
You need some more of those crunchy ice cubes.
Clearly, I've been nibbling on those during the commercial breaks. So anyway, there you go. Coach Del Rio taking a stand. And you do wonder, how long is it going to take for the cancel culture fascists to go after Coach Del Rio? But I think he's going to tell them where to go visit.
I'm being interested to watch how this story plays out.
Yes, definitely. Meanwhile, Governor Kristi Noem in South Dakota. Now, she's a pistol-packing lady, this one. Governor Kristi Noem says it's going to be a cold day in you-know-where before they try to do anything to Mount Rushmore. So Governor Noem is going to be a one-man battalion, and she's going to stand there in front of Mount Rushmore, daring the Black Lives Matter crowd to try anything. I don't think you want to mess with Governor Noem. I really don't. So I'm kind of glad to see some of these folks out there across the country starting to take a stand. This is what it's all about, folks. All it takes is a couple of people. All it takes is just a few. And when people of faith, when people who are patriots stand together, we can make things happen. By the way, this coming from Seattle, Joey Rodolfo is the owner of a clothing store in Seattle. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. We're trying to get this guy on our program. Joey Rodolfo has decided that he is moving his business out of the state. He owns the Buki Clothing Store, B-U-K-I, Buki Clothing Store. The co-founders, been around for a while, says that they have decided to relocate outside of Seattle. He said the reason why is because there is no leadership in Seattle or Washington State, and he also blamed the Socialist City Council. He made the comments after authorities in Seattle are making preparations to retake the Chaz Zone, or CHOP. What are they? Are they calling it Chaz? Are they still calling it Chaz, or is it now CHOP? I'm being told it's CHOP now. What is that? What does it even stand for? What does CHOP stand for? That, isn't that like a TV show on the Food Network where they have to, like, I don't know, make food out of like animal body parts?
That's CHOPed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But CHOP.
Oh, CHOPed. Oh, I see.
Yeah, but CHOP stands for Capitol Hill Organized Protest. And see, in my opinion, with the name of Chaz, at least they recognized that they were completely separating themselves from the state that they abided in. But now they're just saying, oh, we're protesting now. No, you're not. You're taking over a city.
So, it's Capitol Hill. What? Capitol Hill.
Capitol Hill Organized Protest.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
It's not. Are you sure? Absolutely positive, call screener Avery?
I have Googled this before. I know Google can be wrong, but this is what I found the last time I had Googled it.
I don't know. My sources are telling me it stands for Capitol Hill Odorous Pansies. That's what my sources are saying.
Mm-hmm. Star Zapedia.
By the way, fellas, we speaking of that, we're adding a lot of security here at our Southern Command. And so we're putting up nice fencing and all that kind of good stuff. And so if anybody tries to get into the building, they'll be impaled on the top of our fence.
Okay. Well, okay. When's the moat go in? No.
We're working on it. It's the zoning ordinance. It's a doozy
every time.
So we decided to put out new welcome mats, and we have a picture of this up on the Todd Stearns Instagram. So if you go to Todd Stearns FNC, you'll be able to see this for yourself. It says, notice this place is politically incorrect. We say Merry Christmas, one nation under God. Give thanks to our troops. If this offends you, leave. That's our new welcome mat.
It's a fair statement to make.
At least people know where you stand.
Yeah. No confusion.
Which is something that's rare in many instances these days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Panic at the Disco frontman. This information just coming in. Panic at the Disco frontman Brendan Urie is very upset. I guess the Trump campaign is playing one of their songs.
I have seen that. I saw his tweet earlier today. I know what you're about to say. It's just another celebrity whining about, you know, them getting free publicity. So whatever.
Panic at the Disco. That's the name of the band.
Panic exclamation point at the Disco.
At the Disco. But the punctuation's off. It should be a capital A.
Yeah.
These millennials, I just don't understand them.
It's all about the art, Todd. You wouldn't understand.
Dude.
So Brendan Urie, he's the front man, Brendan Urie. Once the Trump camp, oh, is it Urie? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well,
it's not Urie. It's not Urie. Okay. My apologies. That would be weird if your last name was a bodily function. Anyway, he wants the Trump campaign to stop using one of their songs. It represents nothing that we stand for. So blank you. Blank you. That's what they're saying. Blank you, Mr. President. You're not invited. Stop playing my song. You know what? We ought to just play it over and over and over again. Good for you, Mr. President. All right, we'll be right back. Jeez, Alou. The song? Is that the song, guys?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
This is Panic at the Disco?
This is Panic at the Disco. That's right.
Hold on. I want to listen to some more of this here. I don't know. I don't want to judge the Trump campaign for their campaign music, but look, you can't go wrong with, like, Charlie Daniels, Lee Greenwood. I mean, yeah, come on. But Panic at the Disco. So if you missed the last segment, apparently the lead singer, or the front man of the group is very upset that the president is using their music at the campaign rallies. And Brendan Urie is the guy's name. He wrote on Twitter, "Dear Trump campaign, blank you. You're not invited. Stop playing my song. No thanks. Brendan Urie, panic at the disco and company." Then he goes on to say, "Dear everyone else, Donald Trump represents nothing we stand for. The highest hope we have is voting this monster out in November." Jeez, Alou, he's got to dial it back a little bit. Apparently, he is, according to this one of the articles I'm reading here, the lead singer is a pansexual. Is that this is what I'm hearing? Pansexual.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Does it say what it means? Kitchen appliances? I don't know.
I really don't know what that means.
Just watch that skillet. That's all I'm saying. Jeez, pansexual. Jeez. Can we just go to the newsmaker line? Congressman Louie Gohmert, if he's still with us. Congressman, if I were you, I would have just hung up the phone.
Well, no, I was appreciating the education. You know, wow, there are such incredible musicians that would not have any problem having their music included at a Trump rally. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, there's nothing, according to the artist, there's nothing that President Trump has done that represents their beliefs and interests. So they don't like the fact that President Trump brought the highest employment level, the lowest unemployment level for minorities in America, improved wages more than any president for minorities, got a justice bill through that helped. It was something that many African American leaders had pushed for, but the president got. I had a problem with its ex post facto effect, which is supposed to be unconstitutional, but otherwise appreciated the bill. So it's amazing that he is against all those things that have improved the status of minorities. It's amazing that he's against those things, don't you think, Todd?
You know, I'm with you on that, Congressman, because, again, look, I mean, Barack Obama had 8 years in office. He could have changed all the names of the military bases if he wanted to. He could have taken down the statues if he wanted to. He could have done something about unemployment in minority communities. He could have done all of these things, and he did not. And going back to that incredible election in 2016, when President Trump went into those areas where Republicans typically do not win, and he told those communities, "Look, folks, just give me a shot. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose?" And I think, Congressman, we're going to see a lot of those folks voting Republican in 2020. Are you concerned? I mean, a lot of the polling data says otherwise, but I still think he's going to do very well on Election Day.
I think he will surprise people on Election Day, especially with how he does with minorities, because you know, they're not taking, you know, the lead from those that want political power and don't like the fact that Trump has it. But they've seen how their neighborhoods are more dangerous. They see under Democratic leadership, neighborhoods have been burned down, stores and commerce has been just but possibly destroyed for generations, and that this president is doing everything he can to truly help them. And in fact, even the cutting back of foreign visas for workers has been a great help for minority employment. And it's just been a great thing for the middle class, because, you know, the rich billionaires, you know, unfortunately, Democrats, they want to be able to bring in cheaper labor for white-collar jobs. They don't want these folks moving up because they believe they'll have to pay them more, and that's been basically shown. So, you know, I think people are going to be able to take a look at their pocketbook, take a look at their neighborhood. Okay, what leaders have helped my neighborhood and what leaders have supported it going up in flames? Gee, I think I'll go with the one that wants me protected, wants the police to protect me, and wants me to be employed, make higher wages. I think I may go with that guy. But the problem is, Todd, as was seen previously, you know, at one point they were saying 94% of all the stories about Trump in the media were negative. I mean, no president, not even John Quincy Adams, had to deal with that negative of a press. And this president just keeps charging. You know, they call him crazy. They call him stupid. Of course, they call me those things, too. But he's not stupid. He's not crazy. He's a very smart guy, and he is determined to help make America better. And so I didn't support him in the primaries, but I'm not sure there's anybody in America that could have withstood the use of the Justice, not use, but abuse of the Justice Department, including the FBI, the intelligence leaders.
And Congressman, let me jump in here. And
all
now we know.
After him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And now we know, because of a newly unearthed handwritten note from Peter Strzok, that
yes.
Joe Biden
yeah,
lied.
Yeah, you saw that, huh? Yep.
Joe
yep,
Biden
yep.
lied.
Yep. Now, let's be fair. To lie, you have to be able to remember that you said something different or that something. And so, you know, if I were Biden's defense attorney, I'd say, you can't say he lied. You know good and well he can't remember that far back what he said or what went on. So give him a break, you know. Obviously, he's missing a few cards from his deck. And so cut him some slack, you know, heck.
Hey, Congressman, also, and, you know, I do multitask during the show. But yes. I was watching some video that has now gone viral of you. I don't know if you hear this. You were having a little bit of fun in that congressional committee hearing today.
Well, Nadler has been horrendous about letting the Democrats go way past the 5-minute limit and just let them go on and on and on and on, and then cutting us off just really sharply. In fact, the last hearing we had, I asked African-American pastor, I said, you know, Chuck Colson said our hope will not arrive on Air Force One. Who is your hope? And he said, my hope's in Jesus Christ. And Nadler freaks and starts bringing down the gavel. And then others, he just let them go on and on. So I thought it was interesting. There were even a couple of Democrats that said, you know, we may need to bring in the Capitol Police, you know, to get rid of this guy, me. These are the same people that say, oh, no, it's okay to have violent protests and tear stuff down and destroy. That's what you call, you know, protest. And yet when you have somebody that wants to stand up for the rule of law, the rules, and being fair across the board, and just a peaceful protest of a tapping when somebody is no longer following the rules, they want him hauled out and thrown out and roughed up even. But anyway, I found that rather interesting. But as a judge, it didn't matter whether I agreed with your position or not. I treated people fairly. And I hated lies. We had three liars, one of them testifying remotely, who asked for a subpoena, got the subpoena, but hid out in his lawyer's office half a mile from the Capitol instead of coming. I had some really pointed questions to ask him, but he chickened out and went to his lawyer's office instead of coming to the hearing. And then you had another one. He has carried a 30-year vengeance against Bill Barr because under Thornburg, Thornburg fired Ayer, who testified today that this was the worst Justice Department he's ever seen. And Thornburg in his book was saying this guy was terrible. It was like I didn't have a deputy. So I fired him and hired Bill Barr. And Bill Barr, finally, after 2 years, I got a real deputy attorney general. And he worked out beautifully. So Harris carried that for 30 years, and he can't get beyond it. And now he's using it to slap it at Trump because he hired this guy that was an incredibly good deputy AG and replaced him when he was a sorry AG. Yeah, just amazing.
Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. As always, we appreciate your great work up on Capitol Hill and also great sense of humor as well. Well, Congressman Louis Gohmert, thank you.
Thank you. It's a sense of humor that keeps me from going absolutely nuts with all the injustice around here. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Congressman Louis Gohmert, ladies and gentlemen. Good guy right there. Oh, by the way, just got a text message from our good friend. His name is, we call him Joe T. His name is Joe Thorderson, and he is the host of the Tool Talk radio show. So if you guys love tools and home fix-it stuff, every Saturday on KWAM, the Mighty 990.com, Joe and his co-host have it's a great two-hour show, and it's just cool, fun guy stuff. Anyway, Joe was listening to us a few moments ago. We were talking about music, and he told us about Panic at the Disco. Todd, that music stinks. If you want to hear something good, go with Death of a Disco Dancer or Hang the DJ by The Smiths. Well, I haven't heard The Smiths in a long time, so I'll have to check that out. All right, well, there you go, Joe Thorderson. By the way, got to take a break. We have a brand new statement coming out from Bubba Wallace. So Bubba Wallace now reacting to the reaction to the reaction to the fake news story. We'll get to that after the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Clark listening to us from beautiful Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Hi, Clark. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just wanted to say a little something about the monuments being removed. You know, the monuments are there to remind us of what happened, and we're not trying to put these people on a pedestal, but when you go down there and see that, it's reminding you not to go back there, you know. And so we got the biggest fort down here on the in North Carolina on the coast, Fort Macon, and you know, that was built by the Confederate soldiers. What are we gonna do, tear that down next? I mean, we're gonna go in there, bulldozer, take that down, build condominiums in there, or, you know, because that's a big tourist attraction. People want to come down here and see the forts and stuff and remember the past. You know, Winston Churchill said, if you forget your past, you won't have no future. And so, I mean, yeah,
and
people need
and
to,
you're
I don't
prone
know
to repeat it too,
folks.
Clark. Yeah, you know, Clark, one of the things that, you know, when you know, going back and reading history, I mean, there was a concerted effort made to reunite the country. And part of that reunification was respecting the Confederate soldiers, respecting the generals. I mean, there were a lot of people that wanted to literally kick all of them out of the country, and many of them did leave the country. But the reality is, as a way of mending fences and reuniting the country, you got the battlefield memorials, you've got the statues, you've got the monuments, and this is a part of our history. And for us to go and just, you know, in Cleveland, Tennessee, we're now it's happening in small towns. Cleveland, Tennessee, over in the eastern part of the state where I went to school, they have a Confederate statue, a statue of a Confederate soldier in downtown, and they're having protests out there. I mean, it's just outrageous what they're trying to do. But Clark, you need to understand, this is all about eradicating American history, and they're not going to stop with the statues. That it's just going to get worse.
Well, you know, in General Lee, look, his family owned the Arlington Cemetery. They seized it during the war, took it from them, and his son finally got in Congress, and he tried and tried to get it put back in the family, and they finally did put it back in the family's name, and you know what they did? They turned it back over and gave it to the government. You know?
I so mean, what are they going to do? Give it back? History. I mean,
you know, we need to learn our history.
You're right. Clark, that is such a huge thing. You're right. They people do not know the history. You're absolutely right. Clark, appreciate the telephone call, and thank you for listening. We love the talk station. Real quick, I want to share with you the new statement that Bubba Wallace just put out. He says, it's been an emotional few days here. First off, I want to say how relieved I am that an investigation revealed this wasn't what we feared it was. I want to thank my team, NASCAR, and the FBI for acting swiftly and treating this as a real threat. I think we'll gladly take a little embarrassment over what the alternatives could have been. Make no mistake, though some will try, this should not detract from the show of unity we had on Monday, which was perpetrated on a hoax, by the way. That's my language, not his. He says we should, again, make no mistake, though some will try, this should not detract from the show of unity we had on Monday and the progress we've made as a sport to be a more welcoming environment for all. That's the latest statement from Bubba Wallace. You know what's missing in that statement? Two words. I'm sorry. You know what? I don't think this is good enough. I want to know more about this. I want to know who was the person who reported this as a hate crime. Whoever that person was needs to face some sort of retribution. If nothing criminal happened, NASCAR needs to step in. And quite frankly, Bubba Wallace needs to be brought in, and we need to find out what's going on here. Clearly, this guy is on a one-man culture jihad in NASCAR, and that's just not right. So, look, we're probably going to be talking about this a little bit tomorrow. Also, the other big news, President Trump is sending out or calling up 400 National Guard troops, mobilizing those troops to protect our monuments in Washington, D.C. amid the spreading protest. As always, we will have the latest information throughout the night on our website, toddstearns.com. So the team is activated, and we'll be posting stories throughout the evening. All right, folks, been a great show today. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Meantime, toddstearns.com, get the podcast, get the newsletter. Hey, get a copy of Culture Jihad, too. Have a good one, everybody.